From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In just a few minutes, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled, The Goodness and Severity of God, part of this series in the book of Joshua. The setting for the message is chapter 12, but Dr. Cairns' text is in Romans 11, verse 22, where the Apostle Paul wrote, Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. Rather than being innocent victims of an arbitrary God, the Canaanites received the due reward of the vile practices that accompanied their worship of idols. In addition, they were not ignorant of what God had done to other nations who had sought to make war upon Israel. Nor were the children of Israel innocent of idolatry themselves. As Dr. Cairns has been emphasizing, we must accept God on His terms, not on the basis of what we think He should be or do. Indeed, God's dealings with both Israel and with the heathen Canaanites reveal much about His own character. Essentially, idolatry is man's worshiping an extension of himself. God has not changed, nor has His law been abrogated. Unrepentant sinners will receive the just punishment of that broken law. Yet, although the children of Israel were as guilty as the Canaanites, they were shown the mercy of God, not because of anything good in them, but because of the sacrifice of the innocent victim, the Lord Jesus Christ. The same is true of any sinner who seeks God on God's terms. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue this message. Before he comes, please listen to this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in Mark chapter 9 and verse 19. Bring him unto me. Despairingly, the poor disappointed father turned away from the disciples to their master. His son was in the worst possible condition, and all means had failed. But the miserable child was soon delivered from the evil one when the parent in faith obeyed the Lord Jesus' word, Bring him unto me. Children are a precious gift from God, but much anxiety comes with them. They may be a great joy or a great bitterness to their parents. They may be filled with the Spirit of God or possessed with the spirit of evil. In all cases, the Word of God gives us one receipt for the curing of all their ills. Bring him unto me. Oh, for more agonizing prayer on their behalf while they are yet babes. Sin is there. Let our prayers begin to attack it. Our cries for our offspring should precede those cries which betoken their actual advent into a world of sin. In the days of their youth we shall see sad tokens of that dumb and deaf spirit which will neither pray aright nor hear the voice of God in the soul. But Jesus still commands, Bring them unto me. When they are grown up, they may wallow in sin and foam with enmity against God. Then, when our hearts are breaking, we should remember the great physician's words, Bring them unto me. Never must we cease to pray until they cease to breathe. No case is hopeless while Jesus lives. The Lord sometimes suffers His people to be driven into a corner, that they may experimentally know how necessary He is to them. Ungodly children, when they show us our own powerlessness against the depravity of their hearts, drive us to flee to the strong for strength, and this is a great blessing to us. Whatever our morning's need may be, let it, like a strong current, bear us to the ocean of divine love. Jesus can soon remove our sorrow. He delights to comfort us. Let us hasten to Him while He waits to meet us. From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the LTBSradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
Hold all man to his law. Not only so, he will exact a full penalty from those who have broken his law. The psalmist says in Psalm 9, verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. That, my friend, is a verse that should cause every American to tremble. For if that verse ever described any country on the face of God's earth, it describes this one. Bob Jones Sr. used to point out that in some ways this nation was unique. Nations like the European ones, who received the grace of God through the Reformation, were nations that struggled out of darkness into light. This nation was, you may say, born in light. This nation was stocked with the finest of the saints of God. And yet today, it has forgotten God. There is only one end to the nations that forget God. The wicked shall be turned into hell. For, says Solomon, God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. The Apostle Paul said, God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he raised him from the dead. God will visit lawbreakers with the full rigor of the law. Can I point this out? It's very clear in what we have seen in the passage this morning. When that comes, sinners can find no relief from the judgment of God, no refuge. Time does not dim its certainty. 400 years had gone by. These Amorites and Canaanites might well have thought, God has forgotten. The judgment is past. We've been hearing about judgment, 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 but there is no judgment. Solomon said, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. But the Lord has not forgotten. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. There's a fascinating verse in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 2. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. This was centuries later. All those years had gone by. Amalek had sinned and got away with it. It appeared that time had dimmed the memory of God. But no, he was simply allowing them to fill the cup of their iniquity. And he said, I remember. My friend, that is a chilling thought for every unrepentant sinner. Time does not dim the certainty of God's judgment. False religion cannot quench the fire of God's judgment. All these nations had their gods and their religions, but they were absolutely vain, as will be the religion and the religious hope of every person outside of Jesus Christ. When God's day of judgment comes, he says, judgment will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the heel shall sweep away the refuge of lies. My, when the judgment of God comes, what a mighty sweeping there will be. You see, the people who have been trusting in their church, in their baptism, in their decision, in the day they walked up the aisle, in their profession, in their pretension, without any real personal knowledge of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, they will find that the heel of the wrath of God will sweep away the refuge of lies. Sinners will find no relief in false religion. Can I say that human power does not deter the fury of the wrath of God? These people had weapons of resistance, but they were vain. These people had the ability to make huge human alliances, but they were vain as well. My friend, there is no power known to man that can stay God's sword of judgment. He says, if I whet my glittering sword. I want you to stop and think of that. If God today should whet the glittering sword of His justice and judgment, how would it go with your soul? Are you ready to meet God? Tell me, how does it stand between you and your Maker today? When the books are opened and the book of the law of God is rigorously applied, how will it go with your soul? God's judgment strictly enforces His law. But we do learn a third thing. That is that salvation is all of grace. You see, the children of Israel were just as incapable of finding a refuge as the Amorites. They were just as deserving of judgment as the Amorites. But God in grace reached them and saved them. This is exactly what the New Testament teaches us regarding the people of God. Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, or our manner of living in times past, in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's our position. The children of wrath. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He has loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And He hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That's the complete statement of God's grace. By grace are you saved through faith. Not of works of righteousness that we have done, but of God's mercy He saved us. My, what a word that is. Salvation is all of grace. That is a word of hope for sinners. If God were to say to the sinner, do and live, He would condemn us all to death. If God were to say, I have done most of it, now you do the rest of it, He would still condemn us all to death. If God were to bring us 99% of the way and say, now take the last step, He would still condemn us all to death. For we're dead in trespasses and sins. We're hopeless, helpless, wicked, ungodly wretches without the least modicum of goodness or godliness about us. But God is rich in mercy. God is the God of all grace. And thank God that grace is sovereign and omnipotent. He is able to save the vilest offender. You look at yourself. That's why we sang that hymn this morning, Amazing Grace. You look at yourself, and what do you see? You see a great, black-hearted, hell-deserving sinner. Doesn't matter how educated, how cultured, how religious, a great, black-hearted, hell-deserving sinner. But God in mercy gave you grace. God saved you. He chose you. He called you. He converted you. He has fed you. He has led you. He has sealed you with His Holy Spirit. He has given to you all things that pertain to life and godliness. He has granted you a place in union with Christ. Bless God. Salvation is all of grace. Grace, 'tis a charming sound, harmonious to the ear. There's not a sweeter note in the anthems of glory than the note of sovereign grace. Thank God, when I had no love for Him, He loved me with an everlasting love. When I had no time for God, He had time for me. Brought me to the feet of His own dear Son. Salvation is all of grace. There's not a man, woman, or child in heaven saying, thank God I worked hard to get here. There's not one there who can say, thank God I made it. Thank God I did this or that to get to glory. Not one will say that. The Lamb has all the glory in Emmanuel's land. He gets all the praise, for salvation is all of grace.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.